Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is 9:31, and we'd like to talk to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast every couple of weeks to make sure that we're keeping an eye on our mental health, and in this case, the mental health of our kids. How you doing, Dr. Judy? You got me on
mute.
Good
morning, Tommy.
There we go.
How are you?
Good. Good to talk to you. You sound good today. You sound happy.
Yeah. You know, just keeping my mental health in check.
Well, you
got a decent sleep, so I guess that's step number one.
It is.
The night before, I only slept 3 hours, so that was not great. I was up a little bit thinking about a couple of my friends who had just recently passed away. So that kind of kept me up.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I think that, you know, it happened a couple months ago, but they were kind of close in time. And so, you know, you never know when grief hits you. But yeah, so the night before, not great sleep. Last night, I probably was just so exhausted from not getting good sleep the night before. So I got better sleep. So yeah, this morning's definitely starting off. A little bit better than yesterday.
Peers of yours, Dr. Judy, or older people?
Yes, they were peers, and it was very sudden. So, you know, those are also, I think, unique circumstances. You know, they were, you know, in the prime of their lives, so to speak. I like to think that our midlife is our prime of our lives, Tommy. And also, they were healthy people. So it was really sad when it happened.
Yeah, I'm in the middle of my life. If I live to be, you know, like 315. But listen, no, but seriously, since we did go off on that in that area for a second, talk about grief, if you will, because every day people are dealing with it one way or the other. Not everybody, but someone will deal with the loss of a loved one or a friend. And are there different coping strategies, one size fits all, or does everybody have to grieve in their own way?
I think everybody does grieve in their own way. A lot of people who are listening probably are familiar with the traditional Kubler-Ross model of grief, right? There's kind of like these five stages, and supposedly you go through these five stages of grief in order. At least that's what Dr. Kubler-Ross, I think, proposed at first. But I think if you live the experience, and grief is one of those universal things that everybody goes through, you know that it's not really that linear. You know, you can kind of go back and forth between the stages. You can experience maybe two or three stages at the same time simultaneously. So the denial, anger, the bargaining, the depression, and the acceptance, I think people go back and forth between those. And sometimes after years of thinking, oh, I've dealt with that, you know, something will happen. A memory will come back, an anniversary of their birthday or death. And then you're kind of in the middle of it again.
You know, I was having this conversation with somebody, coincidentally, Saturday, about funerals and about the importance of going. And I was, and it's not, you know, a personal session with you or anything, but I was on my way to a funeral not too long ago, and I just couldn't bring myself to do it. And I turned around and I went back home because I wanted to remember the person as they were, young and vibrant and not in a casket. What would you advise people when it comes to stuff like that? Because unfortunately, and I know I went through it with one parent, not the other, that last memory you have, unfortunately, in friends, is of people in a casket. And that's horrible that that's your lasting memory, but it does turn out a lot of times to be that way, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. And I think that that's why it can be so hard for people to, I mean, they kind of feel, well, I feel obligated to go to a funeral. I feel like I should go. But of course, you know, there's feelings about not wanting that to be their last memory of the person. And I totally understand that. Everybody does deal with this in such different ways. And I think a lot of times when we're thinking about, you know, how somebody might deal, I mean, it's interesting. There's a little bit of a judgment there, right? Like, well, you should have showed up for that. Well, you know, but sometimes people, it's just too hard for them. Whatever they're dealing with, maybe there's a reason why they weren't at that memorial funeral. You know, it was just too difficult for them to confront that particular moment.
Specifically, though, and I don't mean to go into the funeral industry here, but when it comes to open caskets and that type of deal, this was a friend that had suffered a long time with an illness. I had not seen this person since they were young and vibrant and healthy. And I wanted that to be my last memory of that person, not an emaciated person in a casket, embalmed and prepared. And I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer here or anything, but was that selfish? Should people look at that as being selfish or not?
No, I don't think so at all. I think that we have to really, again, you know, kind of going back to the just a general reason why we touch base every 2 weeks. You know, we have to protect and take care of our mental health. And we have to do it in the way that we need to do it. And it's not no different with something like grief. Everybody does it in a different way. They will honor that person in a different way than you. They may have a different reaction. You know, like sometimes people will say, well, you know, I saw so-and-so at a funeral. They weren't even crying. Like, well, crying obviously isn't the only way to show grief. And just because somebody doesn't cry when their family member dies or they don't die, or they don't cry at the actual funeral, that doesn't mean that they haven't grieved privately and in their own way, right? So, but I think that there's these ideas that we have, these expectations that we have, and especially around big events like that, people feel like some people should be acting in a specific way, but we're just all so different.
And you never know. You know, when my father died, I was the one that kind of kept it all together and took care of everything. And when the lady handed me this stuff after the ceremony, one little tear ran down the corner of my eye, and at that time, I was able to... You know, and again, it's not about me, but I'm just saying you can't always don't judge somebody because you never know what they're going through. You have no idea what they're going through. All right. We got off on that tangent. Let me take a break. We come back. We're going to talk about young people being unhappier and how that can be, because you would think compared to when we were kids, they got the world by the tail. Right. But apparently not.
Right.
So we'll talk about keeping young kids happy. And I know you have a 2-year-old. This is something that's going to be on your radar, if not already, before too long. We're talking to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast about mental health. Sometimes it's just an open, freewheeling conversation that takes us who knows where. And if you have any comments, 504-260-1870, text them in. Right now it's time for traffic on WWL.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to
other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
9:43, 17 till 10. Quickly back to Dr. Judy Ho, clinical and forensic neuropsychologist. I may as well make you a member of the family, Doc. Host of the Supercharged Life podcast, author of The New Rules of Attachment, her new book that's out, and also Stop Self-Sabotage. So when it comes to kids, surveys showing they're unhappier, I guess it goes to, and the article I'm reading here mentions parents that have, taken almost helicopter parents to the nth extreme, setting up play dates, not allowing the child to explore their own world, make structure of the world themselves. And you have a two-year-old. How are you going to navigate all of that with Luca? And how do parents do that with letting their kids grow up but yet protect them at the same time?
That's right. I mean, this is why there's that term of, helicopter parenting, where parents are being a little overprotective, possibly, just because they're kind of hovering around, they're afraid, they want to kind of pick up their kids before they even fall, right? And it's hard. Of course, you don't want your kid to suffer, but I think we have to sort of reconfigure that in our minds, that really allowing them to make mistakes, allowing them to experience pain, those are life skills building events. And if you essentially protect them from that, then they're going to be left with very little emotion regulation skills and very little problem solving skills. And so we only have a certain window of time to impart as many life skills on our children as we can to help them to be successful on their own. And the day is going to come when you're not here. Mm-hmm. We started our conversation veering off into grief and death, and obviously that is going to happen to all of us. There's going to be a time when you're not going to be there to protect your children. So it is important to give them those skills as early as possible.
Yeah, I'm not planning on going anywhere. I don't know about you, but okay, that's fine. Whatever you want to do. But seriously, how do you balance freedom with protection and independence with protection?
I think it is important that you're still monitoring your kids. That is a very important, it's a very important factor in positive outcomes for children. So what we know is parents who ask questions of their kids, especially as they get older and they want that independence, still asking, well, where are you going? Who are you going with? I need their phone numbers. You have social media apps on your phone. Well, I need to have the password to your phone. Otherwise, you don't get a phone. You have to have these rules and you have to have that oversight because those are the things that increase the likelihood of your child having positive outcomes as they get older, graduating high school, getting a good job, making good decisions about relationships, staying away from alcohol and drugs. All of those things come from this major factor of parents, not hovering, but just being involved in their kids' lives and asking questions, even when kids start to find them to be annoying, especially as they become teenagers. Stop asking me. Well, keep asking, keep at it. That part is important. But the part of independence is, within reason and whatever feels right to your family, saying, I do know the parents of these children. So if my kid wants to hang out with these children, I know their parents, we've communicated, they can go out for the day with them. And I'm going to allow them to do that because I can still keep in touch with the parents, right? So finding ways within reason to give your kid independence, but don't just have it be a free-for-all. I mean, I've talked to parents who say, you know, no matter what, my kids are just not sleeping over another kid's place. That's fine. That's your rule. But don't just keep them in your house all weekend. You know, you have to let them have their peer time, because having peer time is important. But you want to know where they are. You want to be able to say, you know, if I say that you need to be home by a certain time, you need to be home at that time. And if not, then there's going to be consequences, you know. So still having that structure, but allowing them to have some time with people their age on their own without you hovering over them.
When it comes to cognitive development and decision-making skills, is there a difference if somebody knows, and I guess I'll use a metaphor here or an analogy or whatever the hell it is, because again, I'm confused, but where... Mm-hmm. You might think you know how to walk a tightrope as long as there's a net under you and you know there's a net. But until there's no net and you're really walking, it changes it completely when you know there's no net, if that is not too far-fetched?
Yeah, no, that is not too far-fetched. I mean, I think that essentially you're going to always be their net to a degree, right? Even when they're adults, you know, I think the hope is that if they're going through a tough time, they still feel like they have that relationship with you and trust in you, that they can come and share that with you, and you'll always be there for them. And that's kind of the goal, right? That they know they have a secure base to come back to. I know you mentioned that my new book is called The New Rules of Attachment. So many of these attachment bonds that we form with our parents at a young age, you know, that speaks to so much of how we think about our lives, how independent we are, how skillful we become. And that secure base is something that you can always return to. So even as an adult, when you're needing help, when you're under stress, you're always going to be that net for them. But as an adult, you're kind of more of like an invisible net. It's there if they need it, but most of the time they probably won't. And if they don't, then you've probably done your job. I think part of the issue, and you may also know this as a related phenomenon, is this idea of failure to launch adults. These are adults who are in their late 20s, 30s, 40s, even 50s that have not been able to function independently because of this exact problem that we're talking about. You know, probably comes from a good place, but the helicopter parenting is now not being able to produce adults who can be well-functioning, independent citizens in life. And so obviously, you know, as parents, we probably don't want that. And I have talked to many of my patients' parents, and they're saying, oh my gosh, you know, he's in his 50s. We had thought that by this age, he would obviously be independent, and we're still taking care of him. You know, that's obviously not the outcome you want for your kids. And so, again, you know, finding ways to balance the structure with allowing them the room to develop on their own. You have to be able to find those rules for yourself. And if you need to talk to other people, get ideas from other parents, that's fine. I just think that you have to find what works for your family, but always keeping those things in mind.
And I got a text here from somebody who comes in and wonders about the moodiness of kids, and that is it normal for kids to somehow sometimes be depressed, sometimes to be sad, and is that part of learning how to live, to just let that play itself out rather than jumping in and either seeing a doctor, getting on medicine, or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's probably a couple of ways you can go about it, you know, and I think that sometimes you do need to jump in when you see that they've been struggling persistently for a long time. It's affecting their other areas of functioning, like their academics, or they're not hanging out with their peers as much and don't even want to, or at home they seem isolated. You know, all of those things, you have to kind of watch for those signs. But if they're struggling from time to time, and, you know, they went through a bad breakup, or, you know, they had a fight in their friend group, obviously ask them questions, step in and say, if you need my help, I'm here. But those are the kinds of life events that we all go through, and you kind of have to let them just go through it and have the pain and experience that, right? So I think it's also knowing when to step in for more formal interventions, if you will, like, hey, you know, this has been going on for a really long time. Like, you want to come and talk to a counselor with me? You want to see if we can do something about this? You want to go get an assessment to make sure that you don't have ADHD so that I can help you function better in school? But then if it's sort of like a developmental thing, a developmental event, their first heartbreak, you know, the first time, you know, not getting into the team that they really wanted to, they really wanted to be on the football team, tried out and didn't get it. You know, those are things that you have to just let them experience. I've seen parents, you know, up in arms, like going to the principal's office, like, how could you not let my child get into the team? Well, not everybody wins. They have to learn that lesson too. Otherwise, as an adult, they're going to be in for a huge shock when they don't get in to a college, don't get a job that they want. I mean, we all experience disappointment, right? But that's what hopefully builds character and helps you to get up and try for the next thing.
I know I have friends that are coaches, and they've already told me that they have to bite their tongue from telling a parent, look, I can go ahead and put him, I can get my helmet, I can put him on a field, but he's going to be in the emergency room in about a half an hour if that's what you want, because he doesn't have the athletic ability nor the physical size to play. But if that's what you want, I can do it. And parents sometimes have to defer to the judgment of those that are in charge. Thank you, Dr. Judy. I appreciate your time. I'm sorry about the loss of your friends, and we'll talk to you again soon. All right?
Thank you, Tommy. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye. Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. We'll take a break, find out what Noel Norman's got planned for us when we come back on WWL.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
All-star closer Kenley Jansen, we have a question.
What's the best podcast of all time?
Baseball isn't boring, baby.
I'm Rob Bradford, and every single day I'm sitting down with the biggest names to show you this great game is the greatest game. It's my podcast. It's my passion. It's a cause I started more than 2 years ago and is now the most prolific national daily baseball pod there is. Another fact, so jump aboard the BIB Express. Follow and listen to Baseball Isn't Boring, presented by Wasabi Hot Cloud Storage on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.